Thank you so much for your testimonies today and sharing what God is doing in your lives and in the lives of those that you minister to. We're grateful that Calvary Church can be a part of your work to share the gospel around the world. Our theme for the week is Acts 1:8, and Dr. Monroe will speak on that passage next Sunday. So please turn in your Bibles to Acts 1:8, sister verse, which is Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. And we'll be there for just a moment, then we're going to slip over to Acts in just a moment. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, in this passage called the Great Commission, and then again in Acts 1, verse 8, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave that verse, and he left his followers at the end of his life an important message. He gave his followers his final instructions as to how his mission to redeem the world was to continue when he was gone. Before the beginning of time, God had planned to redeem those he created in his image from their sin. He worked his plan through his chosen people, Israel, who gave us the Messiah, the Almighty God, becoming flesh. Our Messiah, Jesus Christ, would live a perfect, sinless life and would die on the cross, paying our sin debt. This debt is a debt that we could not pay. And paid by Jesus, it is a gift from God. This only requirement is faith in the Savior and his redeeming work. God's plan had been accomplished in Jesus Christ. So what was next? The world had to know of the Savior's sacrifice. The world had to know that Jesus, as stated in John 14:6, is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me say, the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. God could have sent angels. He could have had all creation sing a redemption song. He could have written it in the sky. But instead, God gave that opportunity to communicate the gospel. He gave that opportunity to communicate his redeeming work to you and to me. I'm not sure if you and I fully understand and have accepted the responsibility that God has given us in that Great Commission. It is a command for us to go and to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For the world to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it depends upon me and it depends upon you. It depends upon whether we're willing to answer the call, no, God's command, to go and to make disciples. So how does it happen? Turn, if you would, to Acts 13 now, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3 briefly. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. Now, there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to do the work for which I have called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now let me give you a little bit of background here. Christianity had now reached Antioch, 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It began in Jerusalem and was now moving forward And from the church in Antioch, the church would launch out to the ends of the earth. Not only that, but the church would now begin reaching people of different cultures and of different countries. It would all launch from this little church in Antioch. There was another specific first from this church in Antioch that is significant for our church this week as we begin our missions conference. Look at verse 2. There are four words that I'd like to call your attention to. It says, the Holy Spirit said. Those four verses, four words. At Antioch, the Holy Spirit is about to do a first. The Holy Spirit is about to set apart and send the first missionaries, Saul and Barnabas. Verse 2, when they were worshiping and worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them. Notice that the Holy Spirit spoke. And I believe that Holy Spirit is here today. I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to many of you this week. He is here to call and to set apart maybe some of you for the work that God has prepared just for you. What can we learn about this passage briefly? First off, I want us to understand that God uses ordinary people. There has never been anything special about the people that God has called. Throughout the scripture, God has called people like you and people like me to carry out his plans. Just look at the 12 disciples. They were simple people, fishermen, tax collectors, common Galileans. God used these disciples, at least 11 of them, to turn the world upside down. Now, let me give you a quote from my favorite Scottish pastor, no, my second favorite Scottish pastor, Robert Murray McShane. He died when he was just 29 years old, but he changed the landscape of Scotland through his preaching and teaching ministry. He said, it is not great talents that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. Let me say that again. It is not great talent that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. God uses ordinary people in his work, like you and like me, who want to be like Jesus and who want to act like Jesus. I loved hearing our missionary stories today, didn't you? And I love our missionaries as they're gathered around the room. They're a good-looking group, but I want you to know that there is nothing special about them. In and of themselves, they are nothing special but just ordinary people like me and like you. But when empowered by the Holy Spirit, as they act like Jesus, this group of missionaries become like superheroes, don't they? I mean, you hear these testimonies and you go, oh my goodness, look at how God is using these superheroes to change the world. They are planting churches in Muslim countries. They are teaching the Bible in tribal communities. They are providing language development and Bible translation to unreached people groups. They fly airplanes. They reach out to college students. They carry the gospel to a lost and dying world. These are ordinary people who are imitating Jesus, and because of that, they are superheroes. That is what we see at the church at Antioch. There were ordinary people who wanted to be like Jesus. God called them out through the Holy Spirit, and he used Paul and Barnabas to change the world. Are you an ordinary person? Do you want to be like Jesus? I believe that qualifies you to be a missionary. So number one, God calls ordinary people. Number two, God calls a commissional people. Now, that's kind of a mission word. So what does it mean? It means that God calls people from a community of faith. He calls people from a community like the church to carry the message to the world. They are committed to the body as believers and to the Great Commission, this church, and they are challenged to carry the message to the world. So look at this passage again. It says, "Now there were in the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." What were they doing? Verse 2, "While they were worshiping together, a community of faith, worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart from your congregation,'" paraphrase here, "'for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they," the church, "'laid their hands on them and sent them off.'" Do you see this powerful picture? God uses ordinary people that are God-centered, seeking His will, as a community of faith. They're praying and they're fasting. They're committed to the Great Commission, to reaching a lost world. And when a church like the church in Antioch is committed to all those things, people are called out to present the gospel around the world. The church in Antioch was not satisfied with other people doing missions. They were committed to going and doing missions themselves. They have locked arms together as a church for the purpose of sharing the gospel around the world. So number one, God calls ordinary people. Number two, God calls commissional people out of a community of faith. Number three, God calls people who purpose and embrace diversity. Look at the church of Antioch and their leadership in verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now look at the ethnic diversity that was a part of that church. Barnabas and Saul were Jewish. Simeon, Niger, we get have two countries in Africa, Niger and Nigeria is from the Latin word black. So there were Jews, there were blacks, Lucius of Cyrene, North Africa, which means there were Arab people, Manaen, he was Roman. These are the same church, different people, but united together to reach the nations. That has been God's design since the very beginning, is for all the nations to be blessed. All the nations. You know, I love what's taking place at Calvary Church. We have over 70 nations that gather here for worship, nations and people groups. God is gathering the nations right here at Calvary Church, and it's exciting. Now, the reason He is gathering the nations here is not for our own edification, but I believe that God is bringing the nations to Calvary Church to reach the nations, starting right here in Charlotte, where the nations are gathering, and then moving out from this place around the world to reach the world for Christ. The bride of Christ is going to be international and multicultural from all the nations of the world. The church in Antioch knew that they needed to love others no matter what their color, nationality, or culture. And in the same way, once we as Calvary Church, as we continue to grow and we love people of different colors, of different nationalities, of different cultures, we begin to see the world in a different light, and our passion for a lost and dying world and of different cultures and of different people begins to grow. Once we appreciate one another, then we see that all the world needs a Savior. And we want to go out and reach every tribe and every nation and not rest until that's done. So God calls an ordinary people from the church at Antioch. He calls out of a community of faith, commissional people. God calls people who pursue and embrace racial or diversity, cultural diversity. One more thing that we can learn from this passage. God calls people who are passionate worshiping the Lord. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord, they were called out. I know that there are some textual issues here. When I imply that the church was worshiping the Lord, the text really appears to say that the leaders were worshiping the Lord. But if it is the priority for the leadership to worship, then it's the priority for the church to worship. And leaders, I want you to know that the church follows you, and they will only be engaged in the disciplines of the faith to the level of the leadership and the enthusiasm of the leadership. If you are excited in worship and to worship, then the people here will be excited to worship as well. Who are they worshiping? Who was the church at Antioch worshiping? They were worshiping the Lord, and the Lord, of course, is Jesus Christ. Did you know that Jesus was a missionary? God sent his son, and that was what missionaries are sent. God sent his son to give his life so that we might know God and be restored in our relationship with the God Almighty. This Lord that we are worshiping is our example of a missionary. He went to the hedges and the highways to call all to a great banquet that his Father is providing. He gave his life that we might enter into the Father's presence, and he is our example. And the church at Antioch was excited, enthusiastic about worshiping the Lord, and it's out of that worship experience that God called them out to a lost and dying world. What if each one of us who calls ourselves a believer would engage a lost and dying world as an act of worship with the same passion that Jesus approached a lost and dying world? When we worship the Lord, our heartbeat becomes his heartbeat, and his love for others, including the nations, becomes our love for the nations. Worship is where it all begins. God calls a people who are passionate about worshiping the Lord, because when we worship, we want others to experience the same intimacy with God that we have through worship. So we know that God calls ordinary people like me and like you. We know that God calls commissional people. He calls them to missions out of a community of faith. We know that God calls people who pursue and embrace diversity and has a love for the nations, a love for different people. We know that God calls people who are passionate about worshiping the Lord. So what happens next? Remember the four words that we're focusing on today? The Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit begins to move when we do these things. Just as the church in Antioch, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to people and move people like he did the church in Antioch to embrace the world and to reach out to a lost and dying world. This small Spirit-filled church in Antioch became the catalyst for sending missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel. I wonder if we were committed to these things, how the Spirit might move among us. If we open ourselves up this week, you and me, to the endless possibilities that the Lord has for us, I wonder how the Spirit might speak. Will you do that this week? Will you open yourselves up to maybe doing something for him? Would you open yourselves up to the Spirit moving you into missions this week, whether it's local or whether it's international? Because I believe the Spirit wants to speak this week. Join me as we pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place today. And we thank you, Father, for the power of your word, for how it moves us, Father, how it convicts us, Father, how it transforms us. And Father, today I pray that it might open hearts to considering the call for missions. And Father, I pray that your Spirit might move this week among our people, among us, calling us to be used as your servants, both here and around the world, until all the nations know you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.